welcome to our broadcast. This is message number 6 in our series in the book of Ephesians. Have your Bible ready. Talking about having the victory, and the victory is in Jesus. You'll find the name Jesus in the little book of Ephesians 21 times. The victory is in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming. Plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath a cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angel singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I'm reading in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3, where Paul said, "Blessed or praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." You'll notice the word heavenly places there. The word places is in italics, which means it wasn't in the original. And they put it in there to try and make it make more sense. Actually, it should read in the heavenlies. In Ephesians 6 and verse 12, we read, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Again, the word places is in italics. It's actually against all these wicked demonic beings that are in the heavenlies. That is, they are in the atmosphere around us. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." These demonic beings that are mentioned here in Ephesians 6 and 12, called principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, they are demonic beings that have their being in the atmosphere around this earth. Again, the prince of the power of the air. Not only that, but they have control of the airwaves. If you watch TV, if you listen to the radio or the internet and everything else, who's in control of all that? The prince of the power of the air. At this point, he's got all his garbage coming out there and influencing people against the cause of Christ constantly. The other day I was watching the news and they put an advertisement on for some series that's coming on. And in about a 20-second commercial, I counted them, the commercial kept flipping over to show what was coming, and there was 8 pictures of violence. I mean, someone shooting guns, someone laying on the ground, someone dead, and someone else bomb blowing up, and people getting splattered all over the place. It's in the age of violence. Jesus said when he comes back, it's going to be an age of violence, and you can look at your kids playing on computer programs, you can look at TV, or you can watch the news and see that somebody's getting shot up every day in one place or another. There's another tragedy. Why? Because we're living in this age when the Bible says just before the Lord comes back, the world's going to be filled with violence, and you got to be blind not see it. Well, back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed or praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now here's a verse that the Calvinists love. "Chosen us before the foundation of the world." What has he chosen us for? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Doesn't say he has chosen us to salvation. And nowhere in the Bible will you find that we are predestined to salvation. But what we have here is he has chosen us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians 2 and 2 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That, it says in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. In love, that word love occurs 14 times in the little book of Ephesians. And so when it's talking about, let me read verse 4 again, "according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Again, Ephesians 2:2. Again, Ephesians 3:17, that is what Christ has chosen before the foundation of the world that Christians should be. Verse number 5, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Now here we have it again. "Having predestinated us unto salvation." That's not what it says. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to his good pleasure, and he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That is what was predestined. It says in Romans chapter 8, in verse 15, ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So he has predestined us to adoption. To be adopted has made us acceptable in the beloved. Adoption signifies the place and condition of a son given to one to whom it does not naturally belong. The word is used here by the Apostle Paul, and it is only used by the Apostle Paul, saying that we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption is to be brought into a relationship with the Father in a manner which bestows full rights of sonship and full paternal intimacy. So once again, concerning predestination, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption. That's what it's all about. And then in verse 11, Ephesians 1:11 says, whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This inheritance is mentioned 4 times in the book of Ephesians, and that's what we have, because it was predestined that we should be adopted to the family of God, and with that adoption comes everything that is ours as a result of being adopted into his family. And as a result of that, we read in verse 7, we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption, Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:11, we have obtained an inheritance. Ephesians 3:12, we have boldness and access with confidence. Why? Because we have been adopted into the family. I think of the story of the woman who is called the city woman. She's in Luke chapter 7. She was a prostitute, and she was adopted into the family. None of us are adopted into the family of God because we deserve to be. But we read concerning her in Luke chapter 7 and verse number 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, and she is forgiven according to the riches of his grace. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. Listen to this message about this prostitute, this city woman, who became adopted into the family of God.
I heard the gossip from my window. I ran to Simon's lovely home. I knew I'd never be invited, for a city woman I was known. The Pharisee has much to offer, of his great knowledge, wealth, and goods. But all I have are years of weeping, no fancy food or pretty words. I'd bathe his feet with tears and kisses. Perfume I'd give him from my bowl. Ah, what dreams of his forgiveness. What hungering to be made whole. I saw him enter and be seated. I could not hide the joy I felt to be so near the precious Jesus. At his poor tired feet I knelt. Oh Lord, my love is all I offer. I lay my life down at your feet. Tears I begged for his forgiveness. With my own hair I wiped his feet. A crown could Simon place upon him. A 1,000 gifts he could have spared. But in his heart he scorned the prophet and the city woman kneeling there. Well, Jesus knew and he said, Simon, you gave no water for my feet. You gave no kiss, no oil anointing. You only offered me your meat. She's bathed my feet with tears and kisses, and ointment from a precious bowl. Now I'll forgive her years of sinning, for her faith has made her whole. Such words of joy, such words of mercy, upon this sinner's ears did fall. When we show faith and true repentance, the Savior answers when we call. We dare not judge my lofty brother. The grace of God is shed to all, and it will cover with forgiveness the broken heart that giveth all. And it will cover with forgiveness the broken heart that giveth all.